Indeed. We're talking about the issue of using alternative energy and that kind of thing. There's a really interesting paper in the journal Science this week, which I think is one of the most interesting papers that's actually emerged this year. And in this paper, which is by Stephen Davies and his colleagues, they're at the Carnegie Institute, they're in Stanford, California, they have asked the question, we're all worried about climate change. We're all worried about whether or not it's possible to rescue the Earth from its fate because of the CO2 we've already put out into the atmosphere. But is it already too late? Or if we make changes now, can we turn this whole thing around? Is it yet game over or not? Now, they approached this in a very interesting way. What they did was to say, well, if we take all of the energy infrastructure and the traffic and the population we have on Earth at the moment, we know how much CO2 that makes. If we freeze that in time and therefore say, let it live out its lifetime, because they know that a coal-fired power station lasts about 40 years, a car is on the road for about 17 years, people are around for 60, 70 years, and so on. We know, therefore, how much CO2 that lot, the Earth as it stands at the moment, is going to produce. And they come up with a number of about 500 billion tonnes of CO2 between now and 2060. They can say that will warm the Earth up by about 1.3 degrees C compared with pre-industrial levels when we started to really churn out the CO2. That's about 0.7 C hotter than it is now. That, they say, is what happens if we just don't build any new stuff. What will that do to CO2 ultimately, though? Well, according to their model, this will mean that the Earth stabilises with a CO2 level of about 430 parts per million. It's currently about 390. That will mean that that's a long way short of the 450 parts per million that scientists say would be the point of no return. In other words, when we think the climate would go into a sort of positive feedback cycle and the game would be over, it'd be unrescuable. So, in other words, it's not the present infrastructure and it's not the present population that are the biggest threat to the Earth's future. It's actually, according to the researchers, what we're going to build next. So in other words, we have to pay particular attention to making sure that we roll out carbon-free energy infrastructure in the future, as Stephen Davies explains.
What we'd like to emphasize is that what's built isn't necessarily going to put us over these critical thresholds, but we need to really concentrate on building the right things going forward. I think one implication of this is that it might suffice to get existing coal-burning power plants, for instance, to commit to their scheduled shutdown dates and not to spend a whole lot of political capital trying to decommission those things early, because it seems like they are not the ones that are going to cause the worst impacts. Well, I would say that the takeaway is that there's a kernel of hope that we can still turn the ship, that the worst problems are yet to be built. But that said, I think we qualify that by saying that there's still a lot of inertia in the system and that it's going to be very difficult to turn that ship. So we don't want to downplay the effort that it's going to require to ramp up carbon-free energy technology.
Stephen Davies talking to us there. Dominic.